Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kaye in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. If you're an author, independent recorded artist, or have an idea for a weekly show, we invite you to visit our homepage and follow the links at the top. This hour, it's our privilege to introduce author Patricia Rockwell. She's joining us to talk about her latest book. For your convenience, we have her website placed on our homepage, and it's my privilege to welcome our audience from all points of the earth, and especially those of you on your social network sites. Be sure to get out there and tell people about our guest this hour. How do you do, Patricia?
Hello, Tony. It's nice to talk to you and all your fans.
Well, we're having a great time. I think that my partner told me here at Artist First Radio that we're up to 65,000 listeners an hour.
I read that. That's wonderful.
For Authors First. So it's a lot of fun. It really is. And of course, none of it would be possible without the quality of guests that we have, such as you, Patricia. Tell our audience about where you call home and how you got started in writing.
Well, at the moment, I call home Aurora, Illinois. I'm a retired college professor, and I live here in Aurora. We moved here from Louisiana, my husband and I, when we retired to be near family. And we've been here about 3 years, and I've been writing fiction since about a little bit after I retired. I had done a lot of academic writing as a college teacher, and it was pretty dry stuff. But I learned sort of how to do writing, the craft of writing, and the craft of publishing, and rewriting, and editing, and peer review, and all of the details of that. But, you know, when I really wanted to take a break from that, I went into my room and I read a nice mystery. And I always enjoyed reading those, and it always took me away and got my mind off of other things. And I always thought to myself, golly, when I get through with all of this and retire, I'd really kind of like to write one of these things myself. And sure enough, when we retired and moved up here to Illinois, I decided I was going to do it, and I did, and I've been turning them out ever since. So far, I've got four that are actually published. I've got a fifth one that's ready to go up, and I just finished writing a sixth one a couple of days ago. So,
Now, wait a minute. Patricia, you retired. Oh, no.
No,
you did not retire.
Yes.
You found your real career, the one you've been waiting for all of your life.
Yeah, you could be right about that.
I mean, you know, it was that career that actually laid the foundation for you to be able to lock yourself into a room, forget about it, long enough to read some good mysteries. I was wondering if your husband thought you were writing this plot to murder him. You
no.
know, sounds of murder, and then, you know,
right.
he could walks by.
That's I did get a lot of my ideas from a lot of the research that I did in my job, because I studied and did research on vocal behavior, and I used a lot of acoustic technology when I was doing my academic research. And my amateur sleuth in my novels is somewhat similar to what I was when I was teaching. And she solves her mysteries using sound clues. So she's an acoustics expert, and she manages to solve a murder or two that can only be solved through the use of sound.
How apropos that my Windows Media Player died at the beginning of your show. My audio.
I can't help you with that.
My
though.
Audio is out of. I'm probably blasting everyone who's listening right now. My audio is all messed up. How apropos that this would happen
to apropos.
You. I mean, just perfectly. I tell you. There we go. Sounds of Murder.
Yes, the meaning of the title is Sounds of Murder, is that she's an acoustics expert, and she solves all of her crimes using acoustics. and her knowledge of acoustics and her knowledge of sounds and how people's voices sound, and you know, she studies that, and she'll listen to some of the different suspects' voices on her computer programs and compares one to another, and she, you know, she digs around for the different clues that are hidden in the people's voices and in the various different sounds that she hears that are involved with the different crimes that she investigates. So,
Patricia Rockwell, how do I get that job?
Well, you know, I don't know that one has, you know, I mean, they're in the CSI programs and all of the forensics. I think they do probably use acoustics to investigate every once in a while. I don't know how often the use of sound comes up in investigating a murder. In fact, I had one critic tell me once that this whole idea was really only good for just one book because, you know, sound as a clue to a crime was, you know, you probably couldn't come up with any more ideas other than just one, but I've managed to have turned out four of them now, and I keep going. I've got ideas for more.
You
so
want
I
some of mine?
To turn out some more.
You want some of mine?
Absolutely.
You
got pen and pencil in hand.
Oh, no, I can't wait. I'm sure that I've found my way into a few books over the years, but Patricia, this is a great subject for you. You're having a fun time.
I'm loving every minute of it. I really didn't think I could do it because academic writing is so dry and so precise, and although I enjoyed doing it, you know, I enjoyed conducting research and I enjoyed the kind of writing I did when I did it and was working, you know, there was just no fun to it. And what I'm doing now is so much fun, and it's so much fun to devise the plots and to figure out ways to kill people, you know,
yeah,
legally.
Are you thinking about past deans or?
As a matter of fact, in my first book, I don't know who's all listening to this. So I probably shouldn't say exactly. But many of my characters are definitely based on people that I have actually known. So, and the situations are very, very similar to experiences I've gone through. But I've had a number of people tell me that they, you know, had similar experiences, people that have also worked at universities. So there are definitely some characters in the books that are, you know, people that are academic sort of stereotypes. So,
well, you know, it's the institution.
Yes.
Let's face it. You've got X number of employees. You've got all of the rules, systems, processes. Everything is quite orderly.
Definitely.
And of course, that structure becomes a platform from which everything else can stand.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I could tell all sorts of tales about university life that would go far beyond just writing a thriller. But it's a good place to start because there are a lot of murder mysteries to be had, I think, in universities. There's a lot of murders that probably could be conducted that, you know, are not. So,
well, there probably are, and we just don't know.
Right, you don't know about it.
That's exactly right. But Patricia Rockwell, Sounds of Murder, this is your fifth or
no,
fourth?
Sounds of Murder is my very first book.
The first book.
It's in a series. My amateur sleuth is named Pamela Barnes. She's the sleuth and also the psychology professor that conducts the acoustic analyses, and that's her first novel, her first crime. And the second one she does is called you'll love this, FM for Murder, and the victim is a disc jockey at a local radio station. And he is shot on air. And many of his listeners hear him. You know, you may want to look out your
door.
I'm
locking my door.
he is shot on air, and of course, a lot of his fans hear him shot on the air. But he's all there, all alone at the radio station when he's shot, so nobody sees the killer. And it's Pamela's job to take one of the radio station's recording of the crime itself and figure out what actually happened and who actually killed him.
Who did it?
No, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to buy FM for Murder and figure
it out. Well, I had to try.
Right. But it's a very convoluted plot, and it's all explained very thoroughly in the book. And then the third one I do, she tracks down the murder of a philandering college football coach through the use of the voicemail messages on his cell phone. It turns out he has a bunch of mistresses. And the only clue that police have to go on are all the voicemails that are on this cell phone. And nobody seems to know who any of these women are. He's been keeping them all hidden.
Oh, he's quite the gigolo.
He's a gigolo. And she tracks them down, and she figures out, you know, who they are, where they are, and whether or not they are either of them, any of them, are the murderer. So she's very inventive, and she uses her knowledge of sound to figure out a number of crimes. And the one that's going to be coming out is called Stump Speech Murder, and that will come out next year during the political campaign. And that deals with a local political candidate who is accused of murdering his wife right at the time that he's running for mayor of their community. So there's all sorts of political intrigue that goes along with that one. And those are the four that I have in that series. I've also started a new series. That's a fairly serious mystery series.
Patricia, wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Hold the fart. Whoa. Pull back the reins.
Okay.
I don't even have the website on our homepage. How many are there? 15, 25?
No. There are two actual series that I write. The Pamela Barnes series, which is the one I'm telling you about now that involves acoustic technology. There are four actual books written. There's only three that are up and out and published. And the website is my own publishing company. I have my own company. I publish my books, and I also publish books by two other authors. And the name of our company is Cozy Cat Press. And our website is www.cozycatpress.com. If anybody would like to look at that.
You have to spell it.
Cozy, C-O-Z-Y, cat, C-A-T, press, P-R-E-S-S, .com. All those words are grouped together.
And Cozy Cat
Cozy
Press.
Cozy Cat Press, yes.
Press.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, we've got it. I've got it. I'll make sure that website gets placed on the homepage.
That would be great.
And with this audio archive that people will be tortured to listen to for decades. I know. Isn't it horrible?
But it is horrible.
You can short copy paste, grab the link, put it on other websites, and just make them listen to it. You never know.
I'm happy for them to listen to it because I hope that will mean that some of them will actually want to read some of these books.
Oh, it's tremendous. You're so creative. Look what you gave us in the thumbnail, less than a paragraph. Publishing, your own company, other authors, a series, a couple different things. Who is this? Pamela Barnes. Oh, my. This is all. We need like 3 hours. This is just too exciting.
Well, I'm excited about it. I tend to be a highly motivated, very energetic person, so I'm working at this, all day. After I retired, I tried sitting around watching TV and kind of loafing, and I that was fine for a couple of days, and then I said, to heck with this. I've got to do something, and this is what it's turned into. I sort of got my own little business going here.
It is. You're an entrepreneur. You're wearing all of the hats.
I'm definitely an entrepreneur.
And the website, and then all of the other people that you have to get involved in.
Right.
Project.
As I said, I'm publishing two other authors. Just signed a third author. So it's the three of us so far. And I'm looking, I'm looking for more authors all the time, too. So.
Wow. Well, how do they find you? Just go
to... They can go to the website and contact me through that.
Okay, I think I have it right. COZYCAT PressPress.com. Don't you see? They're driving down the road listening to us, okay? They have their Androids in their hands.
Well, what they should think of is just think of our little logo. It's a cute little kitty cat, and she's sitting there. Her name is Cosette, and she's sitting there on top of a book, you know, because she likes to relax, and when she relaxes, she likes to read a book. She's a cozy cat, and she likes relaxing, you know, books that she can get involved in. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great, because my partner, the founder of the Artist First Radio Network, I think we have six cats. I swear to God, they're everywhere. We do, at least six.
Well,
maybe more.
Yeah, we're
because
cat,
you know how
we're
cats
a cat lover
are.
Here. That's
yeah,
why we are Cozy Cat Press.
They come here at the studio, and they live here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they live here. It's unbelievable.
I'm surprised they don't walk all over the
they do.
Board
they
and,
do.
And knock one,
they do.
A knob and
they
turn
do.
On things that shouldn't
and
be
then I
on.
Blame the other engineers. Yeah, they do. I'm telling you, that these cats, yes, we love our pets at Artist First Radio, and we talk about pets frequently on lots of author shows. I'm always fascinated about that because authors, I don't think I've met many, I'm sure there have been a few, that don't have pets, but most of them have a pet.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you?
Well, I did. I had a beloved little Pomeranian that died last year, so I'm in a sort of a in-between point. I'm not ready to get another one yet. I'm still mourning her. So.
I know, but they make nice cat dolls. They're stuffed, and you can
you
place
what?
Them all over.
You're not going to believe this. I have a stuffed cat that is is battery operated, and when she's lying down in her little basket, you can see her chest breathing up and down.
Aww, there
and
you
we
go.
Often take her to book signings.
There
and
you
things,
go.
And we set her out on the table so people think she's really our mascot.
Yeah, of course.
And, well, and we what call could our better? Mascot is named Cosette because it sounds an awful lot like cozy.
Yeah, Cosette.
Cosette, our cozy cat.
Your husband, he's having a fun time with this.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, doesn't he
just
you
stays
drag
out of the way.
You don't drag him along?
Oh, no, I don't drag him along to events I go to. Now, he does serve as my first editor because he's a former English professor. So when I write a book, he's the first person that will read the first draft of it. And he will give me his opinions and, you know, give me some feedback. And it's usually, you know, major sort of suggestions as opposed to little picky things. But I'll get some good feedback from him, and then I'll have other people read, you know, second time through and you know, get it polished really well before I publish it.
So your husband's perfectly happy because he could have his nose buried in a book he's enjoying.
Yes. You got it.
And
what he enjoys is not what I enjoy.
Now, do you think that secretly in his quiet time he's writing a novel feverishly?
Oh, you just don't know how happy I would be if that were the case. Because I would so love, he has so many novels in him that he's told me about, that he's described in great detail and all the plots that would be involved. And I keep telling him, oh, you've got to write that down. You've got to write that down. You know, write it out and I'll publish it for you. And he, you know, he thinks about it and then he's, nah, I don't want to. It's too much work.
Yeah, well, that's all right. But he encourages, supports, and is obviously in love with a beautiful woman, very creative. And Patricia Rockwell, thank you for sharing, opening up, and telling our audience some things that we don't know about our authors.
Well, I'm delighted to do so.
We appreciate that very much. And you have some other authors that have joined your ranks, too.
Definitely.
Now, can you tell us their names, their books?
Yes, I absolutely can. The second author that I work with is named Diane Morlan, Morlan. And actually, we started writing together. So,
wow.
She would read my things, and I would read her things, and, you know, we would critique each other's work. And so, obviously, and we write the same type of mystery. So, actually, the type of mystery we both write are called cozy mysteries, which is another reason that I named my company Cozy Cat Press. but we write these cozy mysteries, and they're gentle mysteries. They're not, you know, full of violence and gore and bloodshed and lots of chasing and carrying on. They're just sweet little mysteries, and there's a somebody gets murdered, and then you never see the murdered body. You just the sleuth just spends the whole book trying to figure out, you know, detect the crime and figure out what happened. So it's more of a puzzle. It's trying to figure the puzzle out rather than it is a lot of chasing and gunfights and things like that. So it tends to be the kind of murder mysteries that people like Agatha Christie, and maybe you remember Murder, She Wrote, and that kind of mystery. But Diane wrote, it took me a long time to prod her into getting it done, but she wrote a book called Too Dead to Dance, and it was about a lady who is a coffee roaster, and she sold her coffee at county fairs and things like this, and she walks into her coffee booth one day and looks down at the floor and finds the dead body of a German tuba player dressed in lederhosen lying on the floor, and she gets involved in trying to track down the murderer because obviously he was killed right there in her coffee booth. So that's a fun book, and she's been extremely successful with it. It's still up there in the bestseller ranks on Kindle, on Amazon Kindle, and it's been up there for the last couple of months. So she's doing very, very, very well with that. And her second book is called Shakedown Dead. It's also about a blackmailed politician who's running. He's kind of a weird former rock and roll star who decides to run for governor. That may sound a little familiar to some of your listeners. And he gets blackmailed, and it's a very convoluted but fun plot. And that one we just got out within the last 3 or 4 months. And so she's starting on the third one now, and I just signed a third author, and believe it or not, it's a man. And you don't see too many cozy mystery authors that are male, but this is a gentleman that writes marvelous little cozy mysteries, and his first mystery is entitled Gumshoe Granny Investigates, and it should be up and out and available, I would say, before Christmas. We just uploaded it, we should see the first copy, a print copy, should be coming to us on Thursday.
Wow.
So we're churning them out as fast as we can.
I mean, you're never sleeping.
No,
it's 24/7.
I'm very busy.
Yeah, I mean, now, are you a coffee drinker?
I am a coffee drinker.
Yeah, me too.
I love coffee.
I know.
I'm fanatical about coffee.
I am too. I love it. It has to be 100% Colombian or Kona blend, but it has to be really just right on target.
I agree. I'm very fussy about what my coffee tastes like and what I put in it. And
yeah, and so you start your day and you're going, you're running.
I'm running.
And then when you're done, you collapse.
I have so much I want to accomplish, and I'm a list maker. I have things on my list that I want to get done, and a lot of that, as you know, as you can probably guess, involves promotion as much as it does involve writing. So I try. It's a balance between writing the next book and promoting the book that's out there now and getting the one that's getting ready to come out promoted, and then promoting the books of the authors that I'm publishing. So I've got a long list of things I need to do, and I need to balance all the things that are on my list.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you've got to, you know, let's go shopping. What's for dinner? Who's cooking? No, let's not.
Yeah, that's one thing I really don't like to do, but don't get me started on that.
Yeah, let's order out, please, in a
Definitely.
Hurry.
Definitely.
Well, tremendous. You're such a vibrant, intelligent woman, and you're applying yourself in a very creative way. I believe a great mentor of others. And audience, if you have a young person in your life that is interested in literature, writing, start them off with some great books right here at this website. And boy, I wish I had it on the homepage. I don't, but here it is, cozycatpress.com.
Yes.
CozyCatPress.com. Go there. I'm looking at the site and, of course, at a picture of our lovely guest and of Diane that you have there. I like that with the bio and your photograph. Very nice. The computer has revolutionized our opportunity as authors to get the message out there. And you've learned that. I mean,
oh, absolutely. And I don't really consider myself terribly computer savvy, but, you know, I work at the things that I can do with it that will help my business. And every day it seems like I learn something new that I can do with the computer and that the computer will help me with. It's remarkable, the things that you could do now from your computer that, you know, 5 years ago you would
it
have
is, and it works 24/7. It never turns on.
I know, it's amazing.
If you have all of the right links in place, if you underneath your website you have the language so that the search engines can pick that information up. If you add new information on a regular basis so that they're always capturing it, you just raise your visibility incredibly.
I know.
You put this link on your website, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people will be able to listen to this crazy interview.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to put it on.
I know. It's fabulous. And share it once they have
it. I've been doing that. I have a Facebook page. I have Twitter. I've been tweeting and Facebooking and all of that, trying to get this information out because, yeah, you have a lot of listeners. That's amazing.
I know. It's such fun. And they're from all points of the globe.
Yeah, that's
earlier
wonderful.
Earlier today, we interviewed an author from Israel.
Wow.
And so we do touch the world all over the planet. It's
a great
venue, and we're so happy to support the arts and introduce our audience to people like Patricia Rockwell and the hard work that you've put forth, the dedication, and that it is fun. You know, when you find that vocation that you enjoy, it's not so much work.
No.
You know, you really are. When you're writing, you're passionate about it. It's like,
oh, wow. I absolutely agree. I mean, if it started to be work to me, it would be easy to push away from it. But I get so involved, and then I'll look down at my watch and I'll say, wait a minute, where did the time go? And it'll just be that I become so wrapped up, particularly when I'm writing, you know, involved in writing a story or a book, because it's like it transports you to another world, and you're just so wrapped up in it, you just can't imagine that anything else is going on around you.
You know, and you're producing material not only of your own, but helping with other authors and so forth. But over time, 5 years, 10 years from now, a whole new generation of people will discover your first book and your material.
I hope so. You know, people keep mentioning things like that, and they, like someone said, you know, your book is always going to be available, like on Kindle and the online sites. Your book will always be available there. It might not always be in a library somewhere, but it will always be available somewhere to people now with the internet and everything. So, you know, that's kind of a wonderful feeling to have, that people many, many, many years after you're gone will still be reading, hopefully, the things that you've written.
Yes, and you can write press releases.
Right.
Just go to your search engine, put in free press releases.
I have done that, yes.
And there you go.
Right.
And so something that is a year, 2 years, 4 years old, in addition to what's new, it's always new, always fresh.
Right.
Whenever you decide to publicize, promote, talk about, associate your book with a topic, a subject, a location.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Always available. And so if you're a self-published author, if you're an author that's intimately involved in every aspect of your book, don't forsake the marketing.
Oh, no. No, absolutely. It's critical.
You have to wear that
hat. You really have to focus on it as much, if not more, than the writing part. Although that's hard for me to do because, you know, I'm not a graphic artist. I'm more interested in the words, but I recognize how important it is to have a really good cover and to have all of the other parts, the visual parts of the book, to go with all of the verbal parts.
Find a student, college student, graduate student, in your school that's interested in computer programming, marketing, sourcing, and put them to work. Here you go. Here's this material. Here's an assignment, a project. You could write about it and learn, benefit from positioning, and your company will as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We intern. We have a wonderful time. Mount Union University, formerly Mount Union College, in our backyard, as well as Kent State University, University of Akron, Malone, Walsh Universities, and their great resources. Mm-hmm. Young people, they know these computers.
Oh, my gosh. They know them so much better than I do. Yeah, it's remarkable.
And iPod, MP3s, people are into this, Blackberries, Androids, smartphones, all this digital technology.
I need my computer to be, you know, computer size. I can't take it, you know, like the size of a postage.
But it's a dream come true for an author.
I know.
It really is. I mean, I have three apps on my phone for Amazon for books.
Uh-huh. Oh, I agree. Absolutely. It's amazing how quickly you can download something, download a book. I have a Kindle, so obviously I use it a lot, and I download a lot of books to read from Amazon. As I was buying my daughter one today, we were talking about a book she wanted to read, and my husband suggested I get it for her for Christmas, and I said, why should I wait that long? I'll just push a button, and boom, and there it was right on the Kindle, so she could read it immediately. It's amazing how quickly you can do all of that you couldn't do, you know,
five years ago. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So you have to keep up with that. But, you know, when you look at your library of material, there is something very unique about your writing style, your methodology, your thought processes, and it's repeated over and over again. It's your style, your flavor, your mm-hmm. persona mm-hmm. is coming through to the audience. And so I think that people relate then. They say, oh, hey, once they read one of your books, then they're sort of locked in.
I hope so.
You know, and that's a good thing. So having that connectiveness, and because you're able to draw from a rich experience, background, university life, previous career, and all of the people that you've met and been involved with personally, you bring all that to bear in your literature.
I try to.
You know, it's in you, and then it comes out. And you change the names, the faces, and so forth, but it's there, and that's what makes the stories believable.
I think they're believable. I'd like to think that they're believable. I hadn't told you yet, but I do have a second series that I just started.
Oh, my.
This is the second book of the series I just finished yesterday, but the first book in that the second series has been out for not about 6 months. And this is the S.E. Cobb Senior Sleuth Mystery Series, and it follows a 90-year-old lady who lives in an assisted living facility, and she's a sleuth. And the first book in that series is called Bingoed, B-I-N-G-O-E-D, and it deals with her attempts to track down what happened to a gentleman who passes out and falls into a coma after he wins a dollar playing a game of bingo in their bingo parlor. So and these this one, the first one, Bingoed, and the second one I just finished, which is Papoosed, in which she has to take care of a newborn infant and keep it hidden at the assisted living facility with all of her friends. This is a lighter kind of mystery. It's not, you know, it's even lighter than Pamela Barnes, and that series is pretty light anyway, but the S.E. Cobb series with Bingoed is really light. In fact, there's no real murder involved. It's a mystery, but the mysteries are all very fun mysteries.
Wow. And so you decided that you wanted to diverge, or you just came up with this concept.
Here's how I came up with it. My mother, who is 90 years old, lives in an assisted living facility. And every time I go to visit her, she's got a new little story to tell me about some little catastrophe or, you know, some scandal that's going on over at the assisted living facility. And these are all delightful older people that are walking around with canes and walkers and wheelchairs. And yet, you know, the minute you get them alone, they've got a tale of horror or sin or scandal to tell you about. And they're funny. And they all have wonderful senses of humor. And I thought to myself, this is a book waiting to be written here. So I decided to create a series about these, the mysteries and the fun and the excitement, the adventure that goes on at the senior assisted living facilities, these like retirement homes. And that's what I did.
It's very much like finding the good in the bad.
Yeah, yeah.
These are
people that have, their bodies may be falling apart,
yeah,
but their minds are still sharp and they are full of adventure and curiosity. And that's exactly what they do in the book. They, you know, they get themselves into trouble and they figure out a way how to get out of trouble.
Oh, what fun.
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's great. And of course, you have the backdrop of your mother. Now, is that her picture on the website with her fingers in her mouth?
Yes,
making
her
a smile? I
that
love her.
That is my mom.
Love you, Mom. She's my gal. She's my, right. Awesome.
She told me when she found out I was writing mysteries about her that she was going to be my agent and she wants 10% of all of my royalties.
Oh, did you? Yeah, absolutely. But no contract.
No contract.
A hug.
Right.
Oh, that's tremendous. Well, I'm glad that you have her.
I do.
And that you have so much to share together.
We do.
And that's important. That's so important. And so I wish you the very best going into the holiday season and into the future of your writing. I think this is tremendous. And it's good therapy.
It's wonderful therapy.
And I think that those who segue from one career to another career really benefit creatively and making a contribution they're proud of.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't know what I would do if I was still sitting here having to watch television all day. I would be bored to tears.
Yeah,
I'm really happy to have something constructive to do.
It is, and the computer allows you to do so much.
Now, it truly does.
You're writing online, right, or using a computer?
Yeah, I write everything on the computer. Yeah, I could not write longhand; it would take forever.
Yeah, there you go. So you're there, and so you've learned the tools of maneuvering material, and oh, maybe this chapter works better over here
Absolutely.
Than over there. And
Absolutely.
So, and that comes with experience and
right.
and time, but the tools have just made it so much better.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I remember back when I was writing my master's thesis many years ago, and I remember having to do footnotes on a typewriter, and you would have to do you'd have to sort of guess how much space you'd have at the bottom of the page to put your footnote on, and you might or might not guess right, and if you guessed too much space or too little space, you'd have to go back on your typewriter and type the entire page over again. Well, you don't have to do that on a computer. You know, the computer puts in your footnotes all automatically for you with exactly the right spacing at the bottom of the page. So I don't know how people wrote theses and dissertations and just regular college papers before the invention of the computer. It has simplified that process dramatically.
I mean, I still use index cards at my home.
You don't need to do that anymore.
I finished my master's in 86, and yeah, I remember those days. That was before Al Gore invented the internet.
Okay. Right. Thank heavens he did. It's been helpful to me.
I tell you, what a guy. But you're right. The publishing industry, self-publishing, writing, being able to sit in your own environment and create this wonderful world and put it down and then follow the whole process through.
This right, yeah. One person can do it all themselves.
All themselves.
You know, something or other that used to be done by, a whole business
yes,
with different
exactly.
departments and, you know.
Oh, yeah, artwork over here.
Right,
who's
right.
Going to do the cover design?
One person can do it all.
Right, copy. publish the whole media thing. Now, one person could do it all. And we interview musicians, awesome artists that create their own artistic expression and do everything.
Uh-huh.
Play the drums, the guitars, synthesize. Mix it, make their own CD, post it, sell it on YouTube. There you go. It's out there. iTunes.
I think that we're living in a wonderful age right now for people that want to be creative.
You have
the freedom to do it and the ability to do it.
And so do
what
it.
What they want to do out there to the public.
Yes, do it. And you probably wish you would have done all of this much sooner.
Well, now that I know, you know how to do it, probably I do. I don't know if I would have had enough time to do it when I was actually working, but, and I didn't, there was a part of me that didn't know that I would have the ability to write fiction. I knew I could write nonfiction and research material, because I got a lot of articles published in various academic journals, but never crossed my mind that there would be any connection between that kind of writing and fiction writing. It just seemed like a totally different ball game. So it really took a big leap of faith on my part to jump into fiction writing, because it was like going into a foreign country. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be great if you went back to all the material that you published there in academics and then made it available online?
Oh, most of it is.
Oh,
most all academic publishing is available. If you go to, you may know this already, but Google Scholar.
Google Scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to write that
Google
down.
Google Scholar is the academic arm of Google, and they
And they haven't contacted me. I don't understand that.
Well, you got a master's degree.
I know. I have two. I have two of them. They
there
don't know
you
who
go.
I am.
I'm surprised you aren't familiar with Google Scholar.
I'm a busy guy.
It's a great source for finding academic articles. And it's kind of helpful. It doesn't filter out all of the trash. But, I mean, if you're really looking for academic works that you can cite in a paper, Google Scholar is probably the first place you should look.
Instead of Wikipedia. You hear that, everybody? There's another site. It's not Wikipedia, okay? Where they invent information. You can actually go to people who study research and write it for real.
And actually will put their name on it. And they're usually like somebody who works in that department at a particularly prestigious university.
That's it. Google Scholar.
Correct.
I can't wait. That'll
there
be my
go.
New preoccupation.
Well, you'll find a lot of my pre-fiction writing articles and from journal articles there. I did a lot of research into deception, and sarcasm,
wow,
and vocal behavior. Those are my three big areas of research.
Wow. Are you going to analyze me when you're done with this?
I am. I'm
no.
going to figure out exactly
oh,
whether you were telling the
please.
Truth or being sarcastic, or I can do all of that.
I do all that. I admit it. Everything you said is true. I'm an open book. I love people. I love what people do. When they love something, regardless of what it could be, if you're a good ditch digger, I'd talk to you for an hour.
I agree.
And so I've been very blessed at Artist First Radio. We founded this company in '96. We have over 4 million downloads a month from our website. We're very proud of that, from every nation on earth, and we operate as a not-for-profit, which means we donate much of our time and resources to support the arts at Artists First, just as you have, Patricia Rockwell. And it's easy to support the arts on Artists First Radio. We have a Make a Donation button up there, and people donate $10 and $25 and $35 or whatever they can afford, and we do the rest. So it's a great venue today to be able
it
to create
is.
These audio files. And in 2012... automobiles will be driving everywhere listening to Artist First Radio, and we've provided the tuner links on our homepage.
Now, when you say cars will be driving everywhere. Does this mean that there's going to be some sort of new
2012 automobiles will be equipped with internet so that you can stream your radio content, your digital content, right from your car.
Hallelujah.
So you'll be able to go to artistfirst.com, hit the tuner, and boom, you're streaming and torturing yourself with these shows driving down the highway. Trailer rigs will be swerving, and cars will be, and new creative ideas will just be bouncing out of people's minds.
That's good.
I mean, the creative energy.
I think you're wrong, though, about people swerving when they're listening to your material, as a huge fan of audiobooks, I listen to them particularly when I'm driving long distances. I find it's much easier to drive listening to verbal content than it is to listen to music for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then, of course, you put in cruise control. Right.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether it's cruise control.
And then the seat goes back. And I can barely see your head over the steering wheel.
No, I can concentrate on the road real well and listen to someone talk to me on the audiobook, on the internet. I don't care. This what you describe would be perfect for long distance car trips.
That's right.
I'm going to do that.
Patricia, thank you so much for allowing us to be humorous, to have a good time, and for sharing your fabulous website, cozycatpress.com, cozycatpress.com. Just go there right now and buy all those books. Buy one or two of each, and Christmas is done.
Right. Now, they'll have to actually go back to Amazon or Smashwords and to purchase them because we don't have any buy links, but we do list the names of the books and everything on our website. We're not equipped for purchase.
Now I know about Google Scholar. Thank you.
Yes.
But you go up there. There's the Google toolbar up there. I could probably
just
type in the...
You go up to the toolbar at the top of Google, and where it says More, click on that. It should be one of the ones listed under More. You see Google Scholar up there? Let me check. I'm at my computer, so I should be able to help you.
Isn't that what they? That's what they have beside your name.
What?
More.
No. All right. I'm at my regular Google screen now. If I click up on More, where it says Google.
Oh yes, there you go.
And you go down. For me, it's Shopping, Translate Books, Finance, Scholar. Right there. That's it.
See, here's a show you learn, folks. We're learned. See, we just do it right now. Just
there
go there and while you're
Google,
listening.
Click on More, and then about five down, you'll see Google Scholar.
And you're right with us right now, real time.
Real time.
I might be 10 years older, but, that's okay. but at any rate, use the tools that are out there. If you have an idea, a concept, do what Patricia has done, really. Just plow into it and express yourself in a great way, okay? Serbia? Is that what? I see. I'm getting, we have, one of our engineers came in, and we have a long list of nations joining us from around the globe right now. And when we interviewed our guest from Israel, it was 6 p.m. Eastern in Ohio and 1 a.m. for him.
Wow.
To do the show till 2 a.m.
That's devotion.
And we do. We have great audience worldwide. Let's see. Maybe it is. Could it be Lawrence Fisher? Lawrence, are you awake? No, it's not Israel. Tel Aviv. Oh, Serbia. Oh, okay. That's somewhere else. Serbia is not where Israel is at. Okay.
No, I don't think Serbia.
No, they're different places. Okay. But the fact is that you and I are able to meet so many people on the web, worldwide, that we would never know.
Absolutely.
Are you planning a blog? Or do you have time for that?
Well, I have a Facebook author page.
Okay, the Facebook. And so... Where do they find that link?
That's facebook.com/Patricia Rockwell Author. All
Okay, good. Now, you have to put that Facebook icon on your website.
Oh, yes, I will. You know, truthfully, my website has just recently gotten revised, and I'm in the process of trying to reestablish it.
Oh, boy, yeah, so. And I want, you know how on the back of the book covers they always have the write-up?
Uh-huh.
I want that out there, too. I want to read those.
Okay.
I can't read those. I see the covers. I love the book covers.
You're right.
That is
I've got a million things going on I need to be working on. Website development is not one of my skills. I'm trying to work through a company that supposedly lets you do it yourself, but I'm finding it more difficult than it probably should be for... Probably wouldn't be difficult for somebody, a young person.
Where's the nearest university?
Right.
Go knock on their door. Hey,
I know.
All right. No, but really, you have...
I have a daughter who's a young daughter who's very computer savvy, so she does my book covers, or some of my book covers.
Well, I'm saying, I love the book covers.
Well, I don't think you've seen hers, but she just did Diane's second one, and she's doing the one for my new author. So, and she's trying to help me with the website too.
That's awesome. That's great. Your daughter now. Oh yeah, I love it. And so when you girls get together, you have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Understand. But yes, the information on the back is already available, right? There's a back cover, obviously. Mm-hmm. The copy already exists. So all we need is that placed on this page that
right.
I could read it for each book. I'd
and
love
every
that.
Book is there. All the books are on Amazon, so you can just type the name into Amazon, and the page will come up for them too.
Yes, go to Amazon, buy one of each.
Correct.
And then you'll be set for the holidays, and everywhere you go, you'll have a trunk full of books.
Amen.
And you'll be doing a good thing.
You would be.
And if you didn't, then they'd throw one at you, and you probably would deserve
no.
it. So
I don't throw books at anybody.
Well, before I let you go, and it's I appreciate so much this time that we've spent together. Where are you headed? Are you planning on traveling, leaving the old man at home and hitting the road, girl? Or do you?
The old man and I just got back from Alaska. We went there over the summer.
Wow.
We enjoyed that a great deal. We did a cruise.
Wow, that's awesome. Way to go, man.
Yeah, we like that a lot. I don't know if we'll do too much more traveling. I try to go to conventions and things like that when I can, you know, writing conventions, and they have a lot of murder mystery conventions and crime conventions and things like that. So I like to go to those, and they usually have things like, you know, how to do forensics and how to do blood spatter work and all that kind of stuff that I try to weave into my books from time to time.
Oh, so. Boy. Then have you listened to Crime Beat on the Artist First Radio Network?
No. Tell me about that.
Oh, you
Crime
will love it.
Beat.
Crime Beat is the name of the show. We have a web link on our homepage. It's on every Thursday.
Oh, great.
Live, but there's an archive with a list of books and guests. And audio interviews you'd love to listen to while you're just sitting there in your office or at your typewriter or cooking in the kitchen with your baby monitor broadcasting from your computer. That's how sophisticated I am. I have the baby monitor.
I have a baby monitor,
yeah,
too.
There you go. So the other, okay. So we're on, at any rate... it's a great way to and maybe you would like to be a guest.
I could talk about acoustics.
And have Ron Chipsick and Will Harib, the hosts of that show, have you on.
Well, that's a possibility.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. Cross-marketing would be good for
you. All right, absolutely.
So check out the shows.
I'm going to do so.
And they're both authors of 25, 30 books. They've been on A&E, and they're investigative journalists, and they do tremendous work.
So, oh, that sounds great.
Yes, Crime Beat on the Artist First Radio Network. This has been Authors First, and I'm Tony Kay. Patricia Rockwell's been our guest this hour, and it's flown by. Before I let you go, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
just all the people that read my books. I love you dearly, and I love to hear from you, and keep on reading.